teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Buckle on in for Jeremy Branham. Joel Blank to my left. Joel, here we bleeping go a bleeping again. Per Bleacher Report, word has circulated around the league about James Harden's increased interest in testing the open market this summer and how his impending free agency is impacting the Sixers' asking price for Ben Simmons. Harden remains invested in competing for the title in Brooklyn this season, according to multiple sources with knowledge of the situation. But Harden has recently informed several confidants, including former teammates and coaches, of his interest in exploring other opportunities outside of Brooklyn this summer. James isn't going to hold back, said a person familiar with Harden. He's going to tell you where he stands. Harden has been vocal to Nets figures and close contacts alike about his frustrations regarding Kyrie Irving's part-time playing status.
First of all, you can see why he's frustrated, but I think karma's a bitch, and I think he deserves every bit of it. And I think the fact that when you sit there and take a guy that got the keys to the Toyota Center, that got everybody to from Tad Brown to Daryl Morey, from the business to the basketball side, to bend down and say, thank you, sir, can I have another? What do you want? You don't want Dwight Howard after you wanted Dwight Howard. You don't want Chris Paul after you wanted Chris Paul. You don't want Russell Westbrook after you wanted Russell Westbrook. You want this, you want that. And then the minute that it's not sunshine and rainbows, you want the keys to get out of the door as quickly as possible. And you want to go where you want to go, and you want them to send you there. That's the thing that annoys me the most. But more annoying than that, from a fan base perspective here in Houston, don't embarrass yourself. Because the same way we had this discussion yesterday about Deshaun Watson, and it was a mixed bag, but people were like, no, I really don't want him back. But others were saying, you know what, I would take him back. But I don't understand that. But to a higher degree, I don't understand why you would want that beard back in this town. Because he didn't want any part of you. The minute that it wasn't a chance to win a championship, he was bailing, he was gone, and he didn't care what he left behind. He didn't care how much he crapped on you on the way to greener pastures. It was just fertilizer to him. And that's what you have to keep in mind. Don't sit there and go, because we suck so bad this year, I want you back because you can turn it around. No, you could have turned it around when you were here for 8 straight years, and you did it. You sniffed it, but you couldn't even smell it long enough to get into a NBA Finals. So stop this, Rockets fans. Stop drinking your red Kool-Aid long enough to realize this is like taking your ex back. It didn't work the first time for a reason, and now you want her back just for the short-term benefits? You can find it somewhere else. Stop doing that.
How many people did you see that were actually pushing for this?
Oh, my God. All Twitter last night, amongst all people, especially while they were getting their doors blown off by the Spurs.
Oh, boy. Jalen Green.
He doesn't like living in Brooklyn. He can come back here. We can make it work. Now we've got young players to build around him. And if it doesn't cost us anything, God, wouldn't that be great? No, it wouldn't, because he wouldn't be happy in a year or two, and he definitely wouldn't be happy losing.
You're saying all the things that I was saying for all of these years. God. You know, nothing feels better, Joel, than being right about something, especially if you're on an island. And me being right about James Harden, it's the thing that I will always hold as the scoreboard moment for me. With all those red rowdies and all those people who thought and believed in him as much as they did, it was like a second round of the playoffs, he's going to be tired and they're going to lose. Like, this is, we've seen this every single year with him, every single year. And that you would want him back. Joel, I'll be honest. Look, this team sucks, right? This Rockets team sucks. It's not really their fault. It's a bunch of young players who are trying to figure this out. Right. Like, they're supposed to not be good. But this is the first time where I actually have felt like, in good conscience, I can root for that team. I could never do it with James Harden.
I agree.
I couldn't do it.
But you had Yahoos that now are supposedly Rockets experts that are telling you that the minute they got Russell Westbrook, they were going to win at least one title. Where? How? James Harden was still a part of it. James Harden doesn't like the fact that in Brooklyn, as much as he hated the pressure of being Batman, but when he's not Batman, he doesn't get all the attention. He doesn't get all the extra love. He doesn't get the keys to the Barclays Center the way he got the Toyota Center. And that bothers him as well. He wants his cake and eat it too. He just doesn't want the pressure that comes with it.
Why do you think he would have thought it would be different? I mean, he's friends with Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant literally left Golden State because of the things that you just said, because he couldn't understand why he wasn't getting all of the accolades. But in the case of Kevin Durant, Durant has always been, over the last decade, one or two in terms of best player in the NBA.
No doubt.
It's him and LeBron James. You can put Giannis into that conversation if you want from time to time. But between Kevin Durant and LeBron, I feel like their games are far more complete than that of Giannis. And you look at those two, You know exactly what's going to happen when you go to play with one of those two.
Paulie, I said all along, and I lived it, and I know him as a person, and I don't even want to go too deep into that rabbit hole, but I can tell you, don't want him to be your boy and be your best friend, because he's going to turn his back on you too, just like he did the organization. But the thing is, I said all along, this guy's never going to win a title as long as he's Batman. The only way he had a chance to win a title is when he joined a loaded team like the one that he was joining in Brooklyn. But he assumed he was joining a team where Kyrie was going to, aside from a catastrophic injury, Kyrie was going to be there to actually be the one that takes him over the top, along with Kevin Durant, who's one of the top two players in the league. And now he doesn't have to do everything, and he doesn't have to worry getting all the criticism, but he can hide in the background as the second or third option, collect a couple of rings, add it to his legacy, guarantee his Hall of Fame, and coast, and basically duck and hide. Now he's not doing that, and Kyrie's not doing his part, and now he's really ticked off because his plan isn't coming to fruition, and it's just like, karma's a bitch sometimes, Breard. That's what it comes down to.
I love it. I love every moment of it. You know what, Joel? I'm getting to a point where, and you know I'm a diehard Celtics fan, I could not stand Kyrie Irving when he was there. I couldn't buy into him when they brought him in. But now I actually think I like Kyrie Irving because Kyrie Irving is making James Harden's life miserable. And yeah, we're bitter. And yeah, we're petty. But I mean, this organization bent over backwards to get him out of town. And it started a trend that I'm a little concerned with. You know, you try to appease every single player on your roster, they're all going to be taking advantage of you. It's one thing when it's James Harden who's doing it. It's another thing when we're going down the roster. We're talking about John Wall, who's not good anymore, is the one that is essentially saying, yeah, I'm just, unless I'm a starter, I'm not going to play. $40 million a year, yeah, I got to start. I got to play.
See, the thing with me with James, too, is that it's always about him, right? It was when he went on that astronomical run of points. It was always about him. Get the most attention. You got to keep me in the same category as these Hall of Famers. You got to talk about me as one of the greatest. You want Charles Barkley saying he's the greatest offensive talent I've ever seen, and then he got killed for saying it. Because it was all about him, and the offense had to be around him. I was on the inside looking out, as you know. But everybody says I'm a hater because of the fact that because that I left the organization, that means I want to just crap on James. No, I want to tell you like it is because no one else out there is doing that.
You should.
The flagship station is absolutely never going to do that. And the other station won't let you talk, as you know, won't let you talk Rockets anyway. Yeah, I'm here to give you the true facts about who he is and what we're dealing with here. This is an egomaniac. This is a guy that says he wants to win a team title, which, oh, by the way, last time I checked, means that it's a team, T-E-A-M. That means there's no I in it. You have to play together with others well in order to achieve the goals. But he says there's no I in team, but there's an M and an E, and I need the ball, and I need my step-back jumpers, and I don't need anybody else that's going to crowd me or take away my spotlight until the playoffs when I want to run and hide. Miss me with all that crap. He's not that guy. He's not Kevin Durant.
No.
And that's something that I think is a huge misconception out there. When he started putting up all those numbers, they're like, you got to put Harden in there with LeBron and some of the greats of the game of all time. It's not even close.
No. I mean, watch him play. And, you know, one of the things that I got a big kick out of, Joel, when he Steph Curry broke the record for three-pointers, there's a steady stream of people who believe Harden's like one of the best three-point shooters ever. Prolific in terms of the amount of attempts taken, sure, but he's like 260th all time in terms of his three-point percentage.
Paul, you're just taking joy in being right. Like, I could see it on your face. But I'm curious, Joel, have you ever hated another former Houston athlete? Because, like, the way that you feel about this is so strong.
So, Brendan, here's the thing. When he left or they were working out a deal to get him out of here, I said at the time, and I was on Randy McAvoy's show on Sunday night and everything like that, and I held true to it. I said he will go down in history as the most hated superstar in Houston sports, and he deserves it. And he deserves it because, and now Deshaun's going to actually, and this was before the Deshaun situation. So I think that how that ends up playing out will have an effect on this. But I think that just simply because of the fact that people were so naive to look at it at the time because he was playing so well individually, that they were okay with every move that Daryl Morey made. They were okay with everything they thought was making them better. And then when they got a chance to step away from it when he got traded and look at it from a true rational perspective, they realized they gave him too much power.
Oh, yeah.
They anointed him too quickly.
This is the danger of letting your superstar athlete run the show. What happens when you give him everything and then he walks away? And so I would say that, you know, in the NFL to the Green Bay Packers, who I give credit for holding firm. When it comes to Aaron Rodgers, I would say to the Seattle Seahawks with Russell Wilson. I'm sure we're going to hear some more crap from him this offseason. Did it at all last offseason. It was Rodgers, Wilson. this is what happens if you continue to bend over. You know, Joel, I think that you're right in that he will be a very despised athlete in the long run, but there is still a fraction of people here that really like him.
Oh, I saw it last night.
And I don't, I will never understand it. To me, I don't even know what's worse. Like, what's worse? You're a Houston area Titans fan, or you are a Houston area James Harden fan. Whatever the case, the commonality is, these people left you. They have no interests in you at all, and yet you still cling to them. At the very least, you know, with James Harden right now, the wound is fresh. The Titans one, I really don't understand. But to me, it's the same thing. Is this a Houston symptom?
This is the problem.
We're better than this.
It's a Houston problem, and it's a Houston problem on both fronts. The fact that you would be willing to take Deshaun Watson back after everything he's done and said he didn't want any more of you is one thing. The fact that James Harden did the very same thing and turned his back on you after you gave him everything for 8 years. This is like the stripper you think loves you for you, right? This is like that thinks that you actually have a connection.
She said
like
I'm handsome.
You thinking the stripper actually loves you and wants to marry you, but all she really wants is for you to keep throwing money at her. That's what the James Harden wants. Let me go back to where I get rubbed the right way all day, every day by everyone in the organization. They keep throwing money at me, so why am I going to turn away from that? But if they want me to commit and wear the ring, I can't do it. But you know what? From Houston's perspective, come on, we'll take all that. We're going to convince you. We're going to change your mind. And they're doing it on two fronts. They're doing it with Deshaun. Last night I saw them doing it with James Harden, coming out of the woodwork saying, we'll take it back. We'll take it back. He'll speed up our rebuild. And now he realizes we're doing this the right way. No, he isn't. He wants all the money. He wants none of the blame. And he hasn't changed at all.
Someone put together on our twitch.tv/ESPN975 stick the Mount Rushmore of H-Town bleepers. James Harden, Deshaun Watson, Mike Fiers, can't forget about him. And I mean, I guess you would you put Bill O'Brien in there as the fourth head as far as the most disliked figures in Houston sports history?
This is something that I've said before. I said it with Palillo. It was a mistake because Charlie's anti-violence and Charlie was like cringing at this. I said, if Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby walked into an HEB, who gets punched first? And it used to be Bill O'Brien.
Well, no one would recognize Easterby.
I don't know. After one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish, and all the other things, I think that, and because of what have you done for the whole Janet Jackson thing, I go back to, who's getting punched first?
We're going to continue this conversation. He is Joel Blank. He is fired up. Some people want to ask him why he's fired up.
They love it when I get fired up.
I love it when he gets fired up. I'm Paul Glennon for Jeremy Branham. It's the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
ESPN 97.5, Joel Blank to my left, very fired up about this, and understandably, normally it's me. I've always felt like I need to be passionate about all the stands in this town who still want James Harden to come back, and for those who don't know, James Harden apparently is thinking about exploring his options this free agency. I gotta wonder, why would you decide to release this information? Is this supposed to make Kyrie Irving play all the time? I don't understand the end game of putting a distraction like this out in the middle of a season.
Because he's coming up on free agency. Because he wants to drum up interest. Because he said himself he's never once been courted and sought after as a free agent. And he wants to try and test the waters to some degree because he wants more people on this planet to fluff him. He wants more people. He wants more people to bring out the baby oil for him. And that's simply put.
Ew.
I hate to break it to him because he also said he doesn't like living in Brooklyn, and he really liked it better when he was here. I mean, most people should, with no state tax and the weather and everything else. But here's the thing: there's two people out there that whether they're his daddy or his big brothers, or his extended family, that still have a full bottle of baby oil and all the cushiness that he knew and loved when he was in Houston. And that's Daryl Morey and Tad Brown. They're just in Philadelphia. But the problem being is, he's going to want to run and hide behind Joel Embiid when the lights get bright. But otherwise, he's going to want to be the center of attention. Key there is, their center of attention is already there in Joel Embiid,
yeah.
And he's got the city right now on around his pinky finger. He ain't relinquishing that for the beard.
No, he's not. Not at all. And I imagine Embiid will get tired of Harden's BS.
Who hasn't?
Right. Everyone has. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Let's go to Troy. Troy, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Troy?
Yo.
Hey, so I can't agree more. James Harden basically crapped on the H&H town. How does any fan want him back?
I don't get it.
And as far as the most hated players, it's got to be Harden because the organization gave him the keys to the Ferrari, and he wasn't happy, couldn't make it work. In Deshaun's case, the Three Stooges didn't give him the keys to the Ferrari, so now he wants out. So I don't know.
Troy, don't hang up. Troy, let me ask you a question real quick. You say you don't want Harden back, and I agree. But where do you stand on Watson? Do you want there to be the possibility of being able to pull a 180 and keep him here, or do you feel the same way about Watson as you do Harden?
I feel the same way about Deshaun, yeah. If he doesn't want to be here, don't be here. Was it management's fault because he doesn't want to be here? Yeah, it was, but is that ever going to change where he's truly going to be happy and want to be here? No, I don't think so, because the Three Stooges are not going to change on Kirby.
Good call, Troy. Appreciate you, buddy.
That is Troy, everybody. Okay, so I do want to continue as far as the most disliked athletes in Houston history. Off the top of my head, I know that Schaub got on everyone's nerves at the end, but I feel like as far as Schaub goes, it's unfair to hold those last 2 years against him because I think after the Liz Frank injury, I don't think he was quite the same player.
He gave you everything he possibly could. See, that's the difference. I think Harden could have given you more in terms of what he's doing in Brooklyn, distributing the ball more. He never trusted his teammates enough to find the open guy and pass it when he needed to. I think that
never did anything off the ball either. I think that's what drove Chris Paul crazy, is that Chris Paul, he is demanding.
Unless he was at a strip club. Then he did plenty off the ball. But here's the thing. When you look at it from the perspective of, from what Troy was talking about too, Schaub gave you, to your point, Schaub gave you everything he could, was all pro a couple of years, or made the Pro Bowl a couple of years, and gave you, he maximized everything he could with everything around him. So you give him credit. He was essentially Kirk Cousins or less, but gave you everything he could. James, he did it. And then James also, when he could give you more and do more, and like I said previously on this show, instead of crapping on and turning the page on Chris Paul because of an injury he could not have prevented and running it back for one more year, knowing at the very worst you're going to end up against Golden State again, and if you're healthy, you got a legit shot. You said, I know what we got to do, and that meant getting him out of there because you didn't like the fact that he stood up to you and at times told you what you were doing wrong. So you got your crony in Russell Westbrook, who wanted the ball in his hands as much as you wanted it in yours, but somehow, some way, you thought that was going to work out.
That one I can't understand. I mean, that anyone who had watched Russell Westbrook over the last couple of seasons, if you'd actually watched him, you see the statistics, but you watch him, you're like, this guy is everything that's bad about basketball.
Yeah, to me, and like I said, there's guys out there that are now quote-unquote Rockets experts that when that trade was made, thought the Rockets were going to win a title because you were reuniting Russ and James and didn't take the time to look at how they play basketball and what their strong suits and weaknesses are. I think they had a much better chance if they had just kept Chris Paul and kept that team together.
Totally agree. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776 to jump aboard the Killer Bees. Paul Gallant in for Jeremy Branham, Joel Blake. Let's go to Andrew. Andrew, what's up?
Yeah, how y'all doing today? I feel like y'all going too deep with it. I feel like if you, like how many times he disappeared in the playoffs, I would not want that. Like, heartbreak is, like, horrible, man. Like, when he gave up on Houston and when he played against San Antonio, that was horrible, man.
So we're not going too deep on it. You agree with us.
You just don't want to re-experience the memories.
Yeah, because that's like you played a whole season good and then just lose it all in the playoffs. That's horrible.
So we're just depressing you, Andrew.
Getting your hopes up so high.
Our hopes aren't up at all. We don't want him back.
I don't want him back at all.
And we appreciate the phone call. We don't want him back. You know, I think none of us are advocating for him, but there are some people out there who are, and it's surprising to me, and it's really surprising to Joel.
Well, here's the other thing, Paulie. Let's think about it from this perspective, right? And I've already been talking about the veterans that have a negative influence in that locker room with these young kids like John Wall. Now you start talking about a guy that's going to come in when you've already basically anointed Jalen Green your next franchise player. You're trying to build up the 19-year-olds and develop Kevin Porter Jr. And you're going to throw an egomaniac, I'll take the credit, but you take the blame guy, into your locker room, who's already been there and done that in this city with that franchise, and say, here, hold my beer. You guys sit back in the corners, and when I need you, show up. Otherwise, don't bother me. Nothing is going to stunt their development and be a negative influence on them more than bringing James Harden back into this city.
And he wouldn't want to come here, by the way.
I don't think he would either.
He wouldn't want to come here. I mean, we saw what he was last he was here when this team was slightly better, not much better, and he basically said, yeah, I'm just going to sit off to the side. I'm going to be a fat slob.
I'm going to tell you something. If he came here, I'm not going to say he wouldn't. But if he wanted to come back here, you know, the first thing that he would tell Rafael Stone, trade the kids. Trade the kids and clear the cap so that I can start bringing some of my boys in here so that are veterans that want
to
win.
Okay, follow-up question to that. Who the hell wants to win with him? Because they're not going to. We've seen this. If you have talked to Chris Paul, you know what Chris Paul is going to say. If you've talked to Russell Westbrook, you know what Russell Westbrook is going to say. If you've talked to Dwight Howard, you know what Dwight Howard is going to say. All of those guys have their own faults. But
you got to believe Kevin Durant's on that list now too, right?
I would think so.
I think he enjoys playing with James to some degree, but that's James playing a game that he doesn't want to play, being an assist guy.
If you're Durant and you are somebody who lives online and you are somebody who sees these things all the time, I mean, what are you saying to James Harden when this comes out? Because you know that there's a purpose that this was put out there. If I'm Kevin Durant, I would want to put him against a locker and tell him, like, we don't do this now.
Paulie, if it was them at full strength, them with no distractions, I could see your point. But I think that they're both going to say it's all about Kai. And they're going to say, look, this isn't us, and we can do this, but we need a third wheel to help us. We got to have a big three. And so it would be more or less that they would both turn to Kyrie and go, I know you're making a stand. I know you've got a stance on all of this. I know, but we can't have you being a part-time point guard. We need you full-time if we're going to win this title. And so you've got to commit to us. Otherwise, you heard the rumblings early in the season. The Nets were done. They just wanted to trade him. They wanted to get out from under him. That's why they were talking to the Sixers and Daryl Morey about even being willing to take Ben Simmons and Harris just to get out from under Kyrie to try and make them better. But that's in your same conference, and Philly's not going to try and help you, and you don't know what you're getting in Kyrie to help them. But I think that if Kyrie wasn't that kind of lingering distraction, which everybody can say is partly to blame, you're right. There would be a real tough conversation right now between KD and James.
He is Joel Blank. I'm Paul Gallant, in for Jeremy Branham on the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5. Coming up next, is the grass always greener on the other side for James Harden? Maybe not so much, you know? Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, are they in the spot?
I was already fired up once. Do I have to get fired up twice in a show?
Yes, you do. Joel, you are the piston that makes this show go. You are the energy.
Yeah.
I helped someone move today. I don't have that much energy today.
Yeah, I know. Well, I wish you'd have moved another piano if we have to talk about Aaron Rodgers. But all right, before we go to the break, you're talking about energy. Energy you're lacking in your life. Well, I can get it back for you. Well, at least not me personally. I can recommend where you need to go. It's Apollo Men's Health. Because at Apollo Men's Health, they take care of all kinds of health issues that are bothering people on a daily basis. From the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom, you might be lacking where you once were at full strength, and now you think that there's no way to get that energy back or feel the same way. You can. And the people at Apollo Men's Health are here to help. Your health is your wealth. You need to invest in yourself like you invest in the stock market or put your money in a savings account. They take care of you every step of the way. They've been at those other places. They know what works, what doesn't. That's why Dr. O started these clinics, because he wants to do it better and take care of more people on a regular basis. It starts with hormone therapy for both men and women, and they have a multitude of ways that they can get you started and have you administer it, whether you do it at home by yourself, you go to the clinic weekly, or for men, there's cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy. You only have to go in once every 6 months. You still reap all the benefits. You want to get on a workout plan? It starts with a full body composition analysis. It literally only takes 60 seconds, and you can chart your progress on a regular basis. Recover quicker, HGH peptide therapy. Want something for your smoothies? They got fat burners, vitamins, powders, proteins, all the things you need, all under each of their two roofs near downtown Houston. First thing you do to start the process, go to ApolloMH.com. Book that first appointment. When you do, you're going to find out most major insurance is accepted. There's discounts for military personnel and first responders. Mention my name, Joel Blank, free B12 shot on your first visit. Then go from there. Be honest with your answers to their really tough questions, and they're going to put you on a program that works. They're the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
ESPN 97.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Paul Gallant in for Jeremy Branham. Joel Blank to my left. And we're going to keep Joel on fire as long as we can. He's heating up. He's on fire. He's angry. So James Harden stirs up passion in me as well, Joel.
And I know that to some degree.
Yeah. But I really got a kick out of just sitting back and letting you go. You know, you're hot. I think you're going to be hotter here. Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. And he is saying that when it comes to the decision he will make this offseason, he is not going to wait too long. It won't be draft night. It'll be before free agency, at least as far as things go right now. Do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to be on the Green Bay Packers this coming season?
I've stayed with what I've said all along. Just like last year when I said he played this last season, everybody said, no, you're out of your mind. There's no chance. There's no way. I believe he'll be back. I believe it's his best chance to win. I believe he stays away from the AFC when we've seen the gauntlet of quarterbacks and young quarterbacks that are there, that are going to be there. And the fact that if he truly is worried about, for his legacy as an individual is set, but his legacy as a winning team member with multiple championships is not.
No.
The best chance to at least get there so you have a chance to win a title is the NFC.
100%. I think right now, too, where the Bucks, you're not 100% sure what's going on with them.
Right.
Regardless of what happens with Tom Brady, I mean, Jason Pierre-Paul is probably going to be signing an exorbitant contract with another team. So you just wonder about, okay, who's going to be definitively among the best teams in the NFC next year? Probably the Rams, probably the San Francisco 49ers with what we have seen from them this year. But after that, I mean, you know, it's definitely up for grabs.
Cowboys are doing you a favor for one more year if they keep McCarthy.
Exactly.
If they get Sean Payton after that, things change. That's why, again, you've got to measure how open is that window anyway. But
Vikings
also
getting a new coach, Bears getting a new coach, Lions.
So the division is starting to get better.
But not
but
much
short
better.
Term, you should win the division again.
Yes.
You know what? The key for me, and I said this even that night going into the next day, if he wants to do what Brady did and restructure his contract, not selling him short on a single penny, but elongating the payments so that they have a bunch of cap room this year, so that he could do exactly what he wants to do and win, he could set the table for him staying. Because he said he wants to take care of Davante Adams. Davante doesn't want the franchise tag. If he leaves, they could still tag Davante, and they can't play together. And they obviously have a connection there. So I think that the key would be that he has to be willing to restructure. They're going to get rid of Randall Cobb's 9. They're going to get rid of Preston Smith's 11, and there's 20 right there. And then with his restructuring, now you can start talking about, I'm going to bring Davante back, and I'm going to start looking for a second wide receiver. Because the whole thing late in the game that everybody said was, and I said this the other day on the show, when you look at of the 20-some completions he had, more than 80% of them were to Aaron Jones and Davante Adams. There's a reason why he forced it into double coverage to Davante and didn't find Alan Lazard or Marquez Valdez-Scantling wide open on the left side of the field, because he was focused on the only guy he trusted. The only way he gets away from that, if OBJ had gone to Green Bay when he was free,
mm-hmm.
we might be talking a different story, because there's another guy he could trust. I think they've got to find him one more weapon on the other side. But if he truly is about winning, it still gives him the best chance to win in Green Bay as long as they're willing to do what's necessary.
Finding that next guy that he trusts, I agree with you. That's the number one priority. The problem is it's harder to find. You can bring in a guy that you think will be trustworthy, but you know, I've seen this firsthand with Tom Brady too. Brady doesn't trust very many guys. And you saw at the very end with New England, he was getting surly with a bunch of young wide receivers who clearly he did not have the same
faith. Got to run your routes. Got to know your timings. Got to be precise. And they're right for doing that to guys that don't do it the way it's supposed to be done.
I 100% agree with you on that front. We're also going to have a very long offseason, Joel, when it comes to Russell Wilson. And this is the guy that I did a 180 on in my time, my two-year little sojourn to Seattle. Covering the Seahawks, I thought to myself before I moved there, why are all of these ex-Legion of Boomers so bitter about Russell Wilson? What is it about him that they don't get? But then last offseason happened. The most insufferable offseason I can ever remember. Because Russell Wilson is not thrilled in Seattle, but he is too much of a wuss to actually put his name on it. He will let his agent do his dirty work for him. Mark Rogers is the name. A report comes out. Russell Wilson is not seeking a trade, but he would accept the trade to the Bears, the Saints,
the Cowboys, the Raiders. Oh, that's great, Russ. You're under contract.
Well, I didn't put that out there.
When you would confront him about it. And then he would say, the reality is, well, it's the reality. The reality of the situation is that, you know, I'm living in the reality and there's a reality. He would love to say that word over and over again. You're about to see that again. A couple of weeks before the end of the season, Russell Wilson, he is asked about Bobby Wagner, who might be playing his last game with the Seahawks. Russell Wilson, under contract with the Seahawks for next season, said, well, you know, I'd love to keep playing here in Seattle, but I don't know if I've played my last game. It was unprompted. He just throws that into the middle of an answer. This guy has all sorts of people that are around his fingertips that will say what he wants to have said for him, but he won't actually say it. And it bothers me. In fact, I find...
Ever seen that or heard about that, Paul? Because here in Houston, they've got plenty of remnants of something like that, but they use rap lyrics on Twitter.
Is Deshaun Watson?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And he uses his agent the same way.
I guess I've accepted that the end is there. The grass is not always greener. I think that Aaron Rodgers was probably realizing that. Like, look, over the last couple of years, this team has really been there for me as far as giving me the best chance to win. I have had the one seed in the NFC 3 years in a row. Obviously, hasn't gotten me to a Super Bowl. Got killed by the 49ers year one. Last year, you lose in that classic
Falcons
against the Bucks.
And then this last year.
Right. But if you're Russell Wilson, I think you have to start looking at yourself more than you have to start looking at the situation around you.
But, Paulie, you also have to look at what we just got done talking about a few segments ago. If the Mara family doesn't want Deshaun Watson, but they've come out and said publicly they don't want to be competing with the Jets for who's the better team in the city because it's always been them, and they want to stay ahead of the Joneses, per se, then they move on to the next available candidate. Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, got two first-round picks. If I want to turn this thing around, I still got Saquon Barkley. I've already overspent for a stable of receivers that are damn good. I've got people on this roster that can win now. I can look at Russell Westbrook. I can look at Russell Wilson, and I've got those picks. I can look at Aaron Rodgers and say, Green Bay, I know it sucks, but if he says he doesn't want to be with you anymore, here's two first-round picks this year and one next year and some other sweeteners just to give you the comfort of knowing you're not going to fall flat on your face. I think the Giants are going to look at both guys. I think they're going to test the waters. They're going to find out if Seattle's truly in a rebuild and if Green Bay's truly ready to let go. They're going to keep their eye on both situations because they know that they can get one of these guys. And again, because they're in the NFC, not the AFC, and there's not that plethora of good young quarterbacks out there that are difference makers, these guys are going to be players in what happens in the NFL this offseason.
If you got someone like Russell Wilson, though, and there's no legal thing that's potentially as an obstruction
for
him.
He's a good dude. That's what the Mara family will love. Off the field, he's got Sierra. She's in music. Music in New York is a big deal. And you know what? Everywhere you look, he's up for Man of the Year. He's a good dude.
She's dying to be relevant again. I would say in the case of Russell Wilson, well, did you see that little horny cologne commercial he had this week?
I haven't seen that, but I know she's hot. She can 1-2-step wherever she needs to.
So my thing is, if I'm the Seahawks, though, I'm like, no, sorry. Nope, you're under contract. If you really want to get out, then actually sign your name on it instead of all this passive-aggressive BS that is so notorious up in that area. I mean, he's become a Pacific Northwesterner. And look, I love the Pacific Northwest, but he's become on brand with that area. And you know what? There's a lot of people there. I started to tune. He started to change a lot of people's minds towards the end there. And I look at him and I'm like, dude, you're not even that good anymore. You know? Did you watch him play the past season and a half?
I did, Paul.
Something's
but I also
changed.
Realized this is something that you're very familiar with. Sometimes you don't put enough around him. And I understand he had Metcalf, but then there was
Lockett.
And you maybe know more about
best
this than I do.
Wide receiver
what
the NFL?
Hell happened over the last 6 to 8 weeks where suddenly it's like they were fighting over something or they suddenly didn't get along because he refused to look his way. Green Bay played him and he had that big blow up late in the game because he was so pissed off because he only saw the ball throw
Washington
his way
football,
like twice.
Washington football team, he's on the sideline of that game and Geno Smith is right next to him. The thing that I believe is the big problem with Russell Wilson is I think about as much of a me guy as you're ever going to find. Which you know what?
To his quarterbacks credit, to an extent are though.
Yeah, he's a quarterback.
And an egomaniac.
But there is something about him where I do not think he understands how to relate to other human beings. Like I feel like he's almost like a Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos. Like he's just this kind of robot that tries to have relationships with others. And it's noteworthy that Tyler Lockett is one of the best receivers in the NFL, has a great connection with Wilson, but refuses to go to offseason workout programs with him. DK Metcalf did go to one, and I remember we did an interview with DK Metcalf, and we were asking him, hey, would you let Russell Wilson teach you something again? And he just chuckled, and he sort of avoided answering the question. There is something going on there, and I think the big thing for him that he has to realize is he's not the same guy that he used to be because his mobility is not what it once was. He's having a really hard time seeing past the line of scrimmage. He's a smaller guy. His mobility always allowed him to get out of some of these mistakes. I wonder how much he would go for. I think that
are you saying like his legs are the equivalent of Drew Brees' arm when Brees lost the zip?
It's starting
because they're both guys that have a hard time. They're shorter, having a hard. I said I'm in total amazement being down low for a couple games where you realize Brees completed more passes looking underneath the bottom bar of his face mask than he did through the actual openings you're supposed to look with your eyes. He was so short that he was constantly looking up that the bottom of his face mask was to a point where, and he was completing everything that he threw when he had some zip on it. When he lost the zip, he lost everything. When Russ loses his legs, aside from a deep ball, Russ has got to do a whole lot more work and be a lot more precise.
Yeah, you're right. He's got to find the plays that are available to him, and he's not doing that. Cover two defenses were killing him for the last couple of years. Okay, he is Joel Blank. I am Paul Gallant. It is the Killer Bees right here on ESPN 97.5.
All right, before we go to the break, are you going to tease something?
I was going to tease something.
I didn't know. You did a pregnant pause. I didn't know if you were giving birth or you were just teasing.
I was reading. I was reading with my eyeballs. I'm like Ron Burgundy, but like
I thought you were contracting. Go ahead.
There is one thing that baseball writers do well. We'll tell you what that is next.
Well, there you go. And you know what you can do well? You can find the bottom of the hole and putt, play your best golf and putt your best life with Pixar Putt. Down at Discovery Green. If you're looking for something new and different to do when you're hanging with your boys or you got a date night plan, and instead of going to a movie where you never get a chance to know who you're actually hanging out with and you want to see where it goes, why not go putt-putt golf and get to know the other person while you're playing golf, having fun? You're near Discovery, you're in Discovery Green, so you're near restaurants and bars and all the different things that you can do after you've laid the groundwork and established some kind of a dialogue. And if you're a family guy like me and you got kids, why wouldn't you take your kids to putt-putt golf where the experience is all centered around all the Pixar characters from all those movies you love? Toy Story, The Incredibles, Monsters, Inc., Finding Nemo, and so much more. All 18 holes, all patterned and developed around Pixar movies and their characters. The kids are going to absolutely love it. It's fantastic, but it's only here till March 20th, and the only way you get tickets is by going to pixarputt.com. That's P-I-X-A-R. PUTT.com. Tickets and information is all there at PixarPutt.com, but they're only available online. Get some tickets. Find out about it. Take the whole family. That's what I'm going to do. That's what you should do too. Because once you go there once, you're going to realize, hey, this is kind of off the beaten path and pretty awesome. And it's only going to be here till the third week in March. I might as well take advantage of it a few times and have some great fun playing some putt-putt all around the Pixar characters and the movies. It's fantastic. It's going to be a lot of fun. Check it out today. It's PixarPutt.com.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Leave Benny alone! Please.
But we're not talking about Britney Spears, who has gone off the deep end, last I saw on social media.
Saw why now, right? After the whole conservancy that she got out from under that her dad was controlling.
I'll be honest, I didn't care.
Her sister wrote a book,
mm-hmm.
and now she's pissed at her sister for the tell-all part of it, of being honest about what happened with Britney, and now she wants her to shut up and cease and desist too. People can be more caught up on pop culture than you guys.
Listen, nothing wrong with that. There is something wrong with living your life online, though, and assuming that no one is ever going to come back at you. And
true.
In the case of Patrick Mahomes' wife, Brittany, who, I'll be honest, is insufferable.
Thirsty.
Definitely thirsty for attention. I'll give her this. Definitely loyal to old Hubby Hub. But she's drawn some criticism from her luxury box, showering the plebs, the peasants, with a bottle of champagne. And she decided to take to Twitter afterwards because some people were coming after her. Some people were being critical of her. She tweeted, Brittany Matthews, again, Patrick Mahomes' wife, "I just wish I could do what I want without getting attacked every week." I don't know if she said it like that. I'm sorry I added the effect, the voice there at the end. But look, you can do whatever you want. We live in the United States of America. Outside of tax fraud, you can do whatever you want. But if you do things and you post them online and they're insufferable or they're annoying, people are going to come after you. They're going to bring the bazookas. They're going to bring the hammers. They're going to bring the torches. They're going to bring the pitchforks. They are going to light you on fire. And if you can't handle it, then don't post it. That's simple.
What's worse? And who's thirstier? Her or his brother?
Brother.
His brother, who has absolutely zero athletic talent that I can see. He definitely doesn't have any rhythm or dance abilities because he's doing the running man on the sidelines, and he's pissing off fans that want to beat his ass, and he's wearing Mahomes jerseys where Mahomes is spelled wrong. I mean, Mahomes jackets. And he's just constantly out there, look at me, look at me, look at me. The two of them are made for each other. I'm surprised they're not married.
I know, right? What if that's the next subplot of the Patrick Mahomes saga is his younger brother and his wife.
Can I push back on this, though? Like, a 21-year-old likes to make TikTok dances? How crazy. And, like, what Brittany Mahomes did most recently, spraying the champagne on the crowd, like, maybe it's because I have a personal experience with this, but like when the Tigers went to the World Series in 2006, the players were doing that to fans. Like nobody there actually cared that they were getting champagne sprayed on them after that win.
Fair
point. So here's the thing.
Fair point.
If you didn't have your brother's stardom behind what you were doing, then I think that it would all be much different because the audience that he would be getting and the amount of attention that he would be getting would be minimal at best. But because he's doing this knowing that with my brother's fame and fortune that I am going to be something that everybody sees, that I'm actually building up my following only because of him, that has to factor in.
That's why I hate him.
21 or not. And the fact that, look, I looked at the champagne spraying thing like three times, and then when I was figuring out that it was actually Mahomes' chick and all that, I was like, I would only be offended if I was spraying champagne on the losing team's fans. If I'm spraying champagne on our fans that are on the same on board with me being Chiefs fans, winning a game that no one thought we were going to win, I really didn't have a problem with that.
I don't know if she would have known, though, because she's up in the luxury box, up in her ivory tower looking down upon the masses.
But she's at home in their home stadium.
You see a lot of red. It's pretty obvious.
She's in her home stadium.
The Bills are red, too. The Bills have some red in their uniforms. It could have been a Bills fan. There could have been a Bills fan in there. That's all I'm saying. Listen,
if I'm a Bills fan, I have every right to be pissed off. I didn't see any Bills fans.
Of all the things that she did, I don't think this is a problem. There was another story where she was mad that people were clapping back at her and talking trash to her. I think this was in Foxborough. And that one, I was like, well, you talk trash to a bunch of assholes. What do you think is going to happen?
Every time they go on the road, it's the same thing.
Right, of course.
They act up, and then they got a real problem when people come back at them.
And that annoys me. Now, when it comes to little Wiggle Schmenzer, Jackson, I don't understand how these little non-talents actually get the following they did. You mentioned part of it, but I mean, so you're dancing to a song that is not actually being played, and then you match up the audio in the background to something that is not even being played. To me, it's just loser behavior. You are an attention whore peacock, and you need to be put down. You need to be sent to jail. He should be arrested. He should be arrested so that every one of these little Wiggle Schmenzers knows that what they do involves no talent.
Jail?
Wow, look at me. I'm dancing for 10 seconds. You're not even dancing for the entire length of a song.
Jail?
Yes.
You're going that far?
Gulag. I want him in the gulag. A real gulag.
Is that an East Coast thing? What's a Wiggle Schmenzer? Or whatever you said.
That's me saying wiggle bleep, but instead of saying wiggle bleep, I'm saying Schmenzer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, even then, what? Yeah, that's a thing?
Have you watched these little morons online on TikTok? Look, I know I'm going to sound like a boomer here. I don't care. That is a complete non-talent move. Look at me. I'm dancing. You can put some.
Oh, no. I got
a problem. Put some music in the background with that right now. How's that going to blow up on TikTok? It probably will because all these bozo morons love this. I don't get it.
This is how you feel when I do this, right?
Do you want me to prove that it won't blow up on TikTok? I'll put that on my TikTok for you.
Go ahead.
It won't blow up. I look like that.
If you do it, who's your brother?
I mean, yeah, I agree with you that part is – that's obviously a part of the picture, but aren't you dumb if you're not taking advantage of your brother's fame in this scenario?
No, you're just dumb, period, because you're not getting an education and capitalizing you can make something of yourself instead of capitalizing on your brother's fortune and name to try and make something of yourself without doing a damn thing.
My question is, who would want to work with Jackson Mahomes based off of these videos, based off of the time where he got, like, kicked out of a restaurant for being an absolute jackass?
He's 21. I got no issue with it.
I do. Send him to jail.
I do.
Gulag.
Make something of yourself on your own name and your own like accomplishments and whatever else that you can bring to the table. I mean, the thing is like you're afforded more than most because you can go to any school you want. He'll pay for it. You can get an education and turn it into a degree and then start using the relationships that are basically coming from your brother's stardom to your advantage. I mean, we've seen time after time so many people that if you do it the right way, you can make a lifelong career out of this by showing that you actually are smart, talented, gifted, or otherwise. But doing what he's doing pisses more people off than it does tell people, hey, you're cool, man. You could make some coin doing this and hope that I get enough followers that are going to start putting money in my pockets.
He's beyond saving. Gulag. 5 years. Hard labor. Breaking rocks for no reason.
It's a bit much.
I don't think it is. I think at some point we need to lay down the law. And maybe we could also send some baseball writers to the Gulag.
Take his allowance away. Take his allowance away and say for 5 years you get none of Pat's money and you got to make something yourself.
God, I can only imagine.
Go.
That must be such a nice allowance. Now I'm just sad, depressed inside, thinking about my apartment that I'm going up to later. Will there be 7 cockroaches out? We'll find out later. In the meantime, speaking of cockroaches, baseball writers, boom, got them. What a transition, Paul. That is why they don't pay you at all. So the baseball writers,
wow,
they are in a situation right now, Joel Blank, where they are once again taking a stand, and they've taken their final stand against Roger Clemens, against Barry Bonds. David Ortiz, he is elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame yesterday as a person who grew up a Boston Red Sox fan, no longer a Red Sox fan. It makes me very happy, brought me some moments of great joy, but also a guy who was on a list of people who allegedly used performance-enhancing drugs. Barry Bonds is the greatest hitter I've ever seen. Roger Clemens, over 3 decades, is one of the best pitchers that we've ever seen. Roger Clemens helped the Houston Astros get to a World Series. Roger Clemens is a Texas legend. And yet Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds, who are decidedly better players over the course of their careers than David Ortiz, who is for the most part a designated hitter, right. They're not in. And now they have to, I guess, appeal for some help. And what bothers me the most is that guys, Joel, like Tom Verducci, who cover baseball, vote into the Baseball Hall of Fame, they write things like this. A majority is not enough. That's the beauty of the process as far as the Hall of Fame election. And what's crazy is the majority of people would like to see those two guys, Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, in the Hall of Fame. But he thinks that it is good, that it is beautiful in baseball, that 75% is not enough to get somebody into the Hall of Fame.
Here's the thing, Paulie. They're going to get in. And they're going to get in when you take it out of the hands of the non-playing, gray-haired, old-school baseball guys that have a vote. When you get these guys that screw the process by putting in ballots with no one's name on it. Or, you know, they take a stand and make a statement by the way that they vote Jeff Kent in before they're going to vote guys that truly deserve it. And the thing that I keep falling back on, and I've gotten backlash and pushback on this before, and I don't care because I'll die on this one, that is the fact that well before Barry Bonds was either documented to use what a lot of people will come back and be like, it was never proven. Okay, guess what? Whether he was convicted or not, and you can look at Sosa, who came in as a .180 center fielder and then suddenly was this massive human being. When you look at Barry Bonds' dome piece and when he finally blew up, it was about 2000. Prior to 2000, he was the only guy that already had 400 home runs, 1,400 RBIs, and had a resume with MVP trophies and otherwise that would have got him in right there if he had a career-threatening injury. The same thing I go back to with Clemens. Far before Clemens was trying to hang on and realized, I love the game so much, I love the competition, but I'm losing my fastball, literally, and I might need some help, he would have been in the Hall of Fame with the 7 Cy Youngs and all the different things that he did and the way he mowed people down and the different accomplishments that he had. He was the best pitcher in the game for year after year after year. He'd have been in. And I will fight tooth and nail with you on that one because I understand the biggest knock on Clemens is he lied, right? The fudge factor is what we're dealing with here.
Wow, but when you got lied to? That's never happened in sports.
You know what? That's why Pettit is forgiven and Clemens isn't. Because he fought it. He had his wife take a bullet for him and still denied it. Whereas Pettit was like, yeah, I did it. And you know what? Everybody, all was forgotten in a short period of time. But Pettit's resume wasn't that of Clemens where we're not having this discussion. So when you look at it and you say, okay, if these guys were just average and they had like the Brady Anderson 1 year when he had 60 bombs and you're like, okay, that's not normal, then that would be one thing where you could scrutinize. But both these guys would have been in if their careers were cut short prior to the time that they first used whatever they used. And I think that's why they belong to be in. That's why I'm saying it'll change when you get the blue-blooded, gray-haired guys that are staunch on their biased opinions about they cheated and get into the Veterans Committee, because now the Veterans Committee are going to get to the perspective of these guys changed baseball for the good. These guys were baseball for a significant period of time. These guys deserve to be in. I don't care if you have your own section in hall or put an asterisk or whatever it is. These guys were baseball for a significant amount of time.
He is Joel Blank. I'm Paul Gallant in for Jeremy Branham. It's the Killer Bees. Hour 3 coming up next. And we're going to keep this conversation going about the Baseball Hall of Fame. There actually is one thing about baseball's Hall of Fame compared to others that I like. And if we're going to do some changing, this part needs to stay in. I'll tell you what it is next.
ESPN 97.5.